Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Greetings and salutations. Coming up on tomorrow's interview edition of the Bob Seska Show, I'll be talking with someone whose name you might not know, but whose work you definitely know. This week's guest is the great Jim Biederman. Jim was the producer of such legendary TV shows as Kids in the Hall, Saturday Night Live, The Tom Green Show, The Andy Dick Show, The Howard Stern Show on CBS Late Night, The Whitest Kids You Know, I'm with Busey, and my animated sketch show on VH1 from years and years, like 1,000 years ago. Jim is one of the greatest storytellers I've ever met, so get ready. Download and listen everywhere. The Bob Seska Show is available. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, BobSeska.com, and of course, SexyLiberal.com. And don't forget to support my show by subscribing at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Thank you in advance, and now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
This here's a 2008 Dodge Stratus. It's got some gears in there and a steering wheel, and I've outfitted the roof with a vinegar spritz and cannon to dissipate chemtrails while I drive. I'm Alex Jones, and this is Crazies in Cars Getting Conspiracies. We're here in Newport, Rhode Island to talk conspiracies with my sidekick at Infowars.com, Mr. Dan Bedondi.
Hello, this is Dan Bedondi from TruthRadioShow.com.
Dan, Alex Jones.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Dan, I think you're holding the phone upside down again.
Get off the line, whoever you are, because I have to call Alex Jones to be on his show.
Dan, this is Alex Jones. Dan? Dan? So Dan, how do you like my Dodge Stratus? As you can see on the dashboard, I have a special radar warning system to alert us when Obama's weather weapons are in the vicinity. Tiny helicopters and airplanes moving tornadoes all around.
I drive slow in the driveway and all of those dings.
That's special.
I also got knowledge of the Illuminati and the occult especially.
Say, where's a good place in Newport to talk about conspiracies, Dan?
We could go to my apartment.
But we were just there 3 minutes ago when I picked you up.
Get off at this exit.
Wait, don't grab the steering wheel. After causing a serious 5-car pileup, we're here in a ditch along the highway in Rhode Island talking conspiracies.
Bob Seska.
Bob Seska. You really are sick.
The Bob Seska Show.
I have no evidence that Alex Jones drives a Dodge Stratus. I have no idea. I don't know if that's true or not. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, June 18, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. It is the greatest soap ever in the entire world ever. Hi, how are you? My name is Bob. What's up? What's happening?
Hello, Bob.
Oh, hi. Day 880 of the Trump crisis, day 42 of the constitutional crisis, 503 days until the 2020 presidential election. And sitting right over there, my good friend Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. Oh, man. Sorry. You have to forgive me. I'm out of breath. I'm out of breath because Trump's coming to Florida today, and I've spent all morning blowing up this big baby balloon. It's coming. It's coming to Orlando. I'm very excited.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I don't want to. You shouldn't be saying it's coming in relation to Donald Trump.
No, I'm talking about the baby balloon.
Oh, I see.
Gotcha. GoFundMe raised enough money to bring the balloon here, so we're all very excited about that.
Yes, we are. That's true.
Well, he's Bob, I'm Buzz, and we will be accepting foreign help in the next podcast contest. I just want to establish that up front. And remember, what everything we say here today is for the show, so no coughing.
Yeah, that's right. Don't even try it. I will freak out. I hate it when you cough on the show. God damn you for coughing.
No coughing while listening, either.
That's
right.
God damn it.
Right. I'm cranky. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I got up on the wrong side of the Twitter feed this morning.
Me too. How does that work that we both end up getting up on the wrong side of the Twitter feed?
Yeah, can I tell you, honestly, seriously, I got up this morning and I saw the news article that said nobody watched the Stephanopoulos interview, which was news breaking and important, and I understand why people didn't want to see it, but it's frustrating because it's part of, to me, it was part of an overall bigger problem. And I saw another tweet from a poor woman who said she's been a news junkie since she was 12 and no more. She's turning it off. She's done. That's it. She's out. She can't take it anymore. And I get that. I've heard that. If I've heard that from one person today, I've heard it from 100 people. I just can't listen to any more of this. And it shows in the Stephanopoulos ratings, in the news ratings overall. I may even be feeling it a little bit. But when we stop paying attention, that's exactly what the evildoers want.
So you've actually worried about that. You've actually started the show. I thought this was a big elaborate setup for another show.
No, we're done. I really did get up on the wrong side of Twitter today.
Gotcha.
Although that was initially a joke, I did have more and more serious to say about that.
I'm sitting here like on the edge of my seat with my finger hovering over the rim shot button, and I'm going, "Oh wait, it's coming! He's gonna nail it!" And of course, you're actually talking seriously now. So I should
next time I say something that serious, I'll be standing in front of pictures of flaming oil tankers.
See, now there it is.
See, we brought it.
Thank you.
See how we wrapped all that up in a bow? That's just great.
All right. Yeah, I mean, everything is awful. We have so much to talk about. I mean, but as far as the news goes, as far as following the news, as far as watching that ABC News special, I think it's Trump fatigue. I've been seeing this for a while now, and I've been wondering, why isn't anyone talking about Trump fatigue? And it's got to be happening. I mean, remember, we have had many other presidents in this country. We've had 45.
If you count this one.
Right. And so with every presidency, we get to a certain point where everyone goes, "Oh boy, I'm so tired of this president. I'm so sick and tired. No more of this president." And usually it happens at the end of two terms. Like, everyone's like, "Okay, well, yeah, two terms is enough. I'm tired of seeing this guy's face. I'm tired of hearing his voice. Can he please go away?" Even the greatest, Barack Obama, Ronald Reagan, all of these presidents are like, "Oh, I'm so tired."
Yeah, usually not the first month they're in office.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but I mean, this guy is so vastly different insofar as his giant melon head is in our living rooms every damn day.
Constantly. He makes a point for that,
And for those of us who are on social media, who have our faces pressed against our computer screens 24/7, I mean, we see him all the damn time. And
think you're tired of it. We're tired of it.
I know. My God. Yeah. But I think that's part of it. I don't know if it's a disinterest in what's happening. I just think people are tired of hearing his voice, tired of hearing the lines, tired of hearing the same catchphrases over and over and over again. And, on that note, I've got several clips of his voice right now.
Oh, people are going to be very excited about that. And let me just say before we run everybody off, let me just remind you of a conversation that you and I had on this show a couple of years ago about Trump fatigue. And our prediction and our hope was at the time that Trump supporters would experience this fatigue and that they too would tire of him. Well, that doesn't appear to have happened.
No.
And in fact, the level of enthusiasm among Trump voters is higher now probably than it was in 2016. Now the numbers are lower. You've seen the polls. Yeah, he can't. Yeah. I mean, he's in Florida today because he's behind 7 points here, and he cannot afford to lose Florida. And yet, if the election were held today, he would. So he's certainly got reason to worry. But the Trump supporters are as fervent, if not more so than ever. And I think some of us on the left are as fervent or more so than ever. He motivates us every day with things like announcing last night at bedtime that he was sending 1,000 more troops to the Middle East, and then announcing upon rising this morning that he would deport, he says, millions of people who are migrants. And it's just like you said, the barrage is nonstop. Mm-hmm. Every day, every hour of every waking moment, he's in our faces. But not only is Trump's base fired up, but we are too.
Yeah.
And he continues to fire us up by doing these awful things.
Did you notice that there are people who are waiting outside that Orlando arena? They're camped out. They're on the sidewalks. They've got their sleeping bags. They've got their tents. And they're all waiting for Donald Trump to scream like a maniac for an hour and a half. I always go back to that CPAC speech that he delivered earlier in the year where he was just, it was like 2.5 hours of just sheer utter madness. It's just again, it's amazing. It's amazing.
That'll happen again tonight.
Yeah. Again, that's exactly what's going to happen tonight. It's going to be next level crazy for Donald Trump at this rally because it's kicking off his campaign. This is his official campaign kickoff. So it's going to be
his 59th. It'll be his 59th campaign rally since becoming president. But this is where he's kicking it off.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Got it.
By the way, I thought it was like a year ago when he brought up, well, we've changed our slogan. It's now Keep America Great, and it's no longer Make America Great Again. We want to keep America great. And then he was on, I don't know, TV somewhere last week where he was saying, what is it going to be? Is it going to be Make America Great Again? Are we going to use that again? Or are we going to say Keep America Great? He can't decide on his goddamn slogan. So I imagine that's got a little bit of that tonight. It's going to be full Pocahontas, full Sleepy Joe. It's going to be all the crazy stuff. But then just things that we can't even predict. You know, if you were to make a grid.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, you couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. You make a grid for an election and you can kind of break down every campaign into three things. National security, domestic issues, and question mark. There are going to be so many question mark things tonight that, again, we can't even begin to assume that we know what's going to happen along those lines because he is just fantastic at just sucking down the Adderall or whatever it is he's doing. He's got to be doing something. And this is a good segue into that special from last night on ABC News. One of the things that he dropped in that ABC News special that no one is really talking about is the fact that
a vial of cocaine.
Dropped it right into his nostril and just the entire damn thing in one big sucking motion.
Sorry, couldn't resist. Please proceed.
But what happened was he certainly needs the cocaine because he apparently at age 78 or whatever, how old he is, he only sleeps 4 or 5 hours a night, and he mentioned
it doesn't show.
Trump is crazy.
That's right. You can't tell by the look in his eye, the crazy look, and just he's got all the colors of the rainbow on his face now. I noticed that too during that interview,
and he's manically contradictory. Dana Milbank at the Washington Post did a tremendous piece. I'll be stealing from it in my news this Thursday, where he lists case after case of Trump saying one thing in 1 minute. Yeah. And the next minute saying something else, or saying something one day and the next day saying something else. And this has gone on as recently as this week.
Yep.
It's gone on from the very beginning where he covers all his bases by taking both sides of a thing.
Right.
And he does this consistently. This is the stable genius that we're talking about here.
Yeah, he levies accusations. And then when he's challenged on that accusation, he goes,
sometimes even without challenge,
right.
Sometimes he contradicts himself in the second of two sentences.
Yes. He did. What was the big contradiction? He was talking about something. I think he tweeted something last week in which everyone was trying to decipher what the hell it was he was talking about, where the first part of it contradicted the second part. And for God's sake, it's escaping me right now what that thing was.
Well, I know it was in the last week that he accused the New York Times of treason. reason for publishing what he said was a classified report that he then said didn't exist.
That's right. The news is real. Know. No, what did he say? Yeah, he said it like a, 2 years ago. And it applies to this New York Times tweet as well, where he said the leak is real, but the news is fake. As if that can somehow happen logically in this universe without bending the laws of physics somehow. But I mean,
he called Bob Woodward's book a fiction and then screamed at his staff for letting that stuff leak out.
That he also said to Stephanopoulos. This was kind of an amazing moment that was at the very end. And again, it's not getting a lot of conversation because of the giant bombshells that were in there, too. He said a previous administration used the intelligence data and the intelligence agencies to spy on my campaign. That is an exact quote. Then George Stephanopoulos goes, "You believe President Obama spied on your campaign?" And then Trump goes, "I don't know."
Right. Like, he did, or I'm not sure. Right.
Yes. So a previous administration used the intelligence data and the intelligence agencies to spy on my campaign, period. So they spied on your campaign? I don't know.
I'll take credit for the government shutdown. It's the Democrats' fault.
way to be a straight shooter. Yeah, everyone talks about how Donald Trump's a straight shooter, says what's on his mind.
And this goes back to me. There could be an Adderall connection here.
Absolutely true. And again, if a guy who is Trump, who has his unhealthy lifestyle, who has the rigors, the stresses of that job, is only getting 4 hours of sleep a night. I mean, just hearing the phrase 4 hours of sleep at night gives me a headache and makes me want to take a nap. And I'm 48, almost 48. There's no way he is sleeping 4 hours a night, waking up as chipper as the morning dew and popping out of bed without any assistance whatsoever. And that is what Provigil is meant to do. That is the drug that Ronny Jackson was purported to be handing out to White House staffers up and down the West Wing. And my assumption is including the president, too, because it's designed to help people wake up in the morning, especially if they're using it, things like Ambien and so on.
It's supposed to be good for concentration. Is that right?
Yeah,
students use it for studying. If that's the drug, if we're talking about the same drug, that doctor used to keep a bowl of them on his desk for anybody who wanted to come by and take them.
That's exactly right. He was, when I say he was handing them out like Skittles, I mean that literally. Yeah. Like, it was just like, oh, hey, thanks for popping by my office. Hey, got a big bowl of Provigil here, just like some Werther's Originals. Just reach your hand in there, grab a big handful, stick them in your pocket. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time. And that's kind of what was going on in Ronny Jackson's office. And of course, we kind of forgot all about that now. I don't even know where that situation is.
The fire hose of news. I mean, yeah. that was 8 million gallons ago.
Speaking of the fire hose of news, we have some news on the acting defense secretary. Is that true? I saw on your Twitter feed as we were starting the show.
Just before showtime, we learned that the acting defense secretary is not going to serve out. Pat Shanahan will not continue with the confirmation process before the Senate. In his stead, the new deputy or the new secretary of the Army. There's so many deputies and actings. The new secretary of the Army will be promoted to as the nominee for defense secretary.
Yeah.
Now, he's fun, Mark Esper, because he just came to us from the big defense contractor, Raytheon. So it's really fortuitous how this has worked out.
Yeah. And of course, when I think of Raytheon, I go right to Alex Jones, because Raytheon is one of those ooga booga conspirators. They're part of the grand conspiracy against whoever. They're one of the globalists. I don't know what the
Raytheon, hell. Let me tell you about Raytheon. Raytheon started out making radio tubes.
Yeah.
For radio receivers that required tubes that had to heat up. You had to wait for your radio to warm up thanks to Raytheon tube technology.
Yes, thank you for that, Raytheon. And actually, that was when Raytheon was kind of useful to consumers, but now it's all about, you know, crazy defense.
War.
War and all kinds of crazy things that people can use in war. And it's driving Alex Alex Jones crazy. Raytheon, IBM, the Bilderbergs, the globalists, the Trilateral Commission, all the rest of them. That every time, you know, every time Alex Jones is confronted with some sort of news story, it always comes down to one of those companies being to blame. And you know what? In some cases, probably not wrong.
And Raytheon's, I wouldn't guess that would be the case with Raytheon, I think. They've done their share of war profiteering, I would say.
Exactly. And every once in a while, Alex Jones kind of accidentally lands on something that might be a little bit true. So there's that.
Sure. And that's, you know, and that's how you get away with his kind of crazy, too, is you include something that the listener knows is real, knows in their gut, at least, is real. And then everything else he says must be true.
That's right. Well, the latest news from Alex Jones's universe is, you know, he's in this big lawsuit against the Sandy Hook families, or they're suing him for defamation and all the rest of it. But I hate to be in a position where I'm defending him, but this, and I'm not really defending him. All I'm saying is this headline at ctpost.com is a little bit clickbaity. The headline says lawyers for Sandy Hook family say Alex Jones sent them child porn. Now, when you actually read the article, it is still really bad for Alex Jones. I mean, this could end him, this particular story. So the actual story is that they're doing discovery right now, and Alex Jones's defense attorneys sent a bunch of Alex Jones's documents to the attorney for the plaintiffs, this guy, Chris Mattei. I guess that's how you pronounce his last name, M-A-T-T-E-I. He's the lawyer for the Sandy Hook families. And apparently within this giant tranche of documents from Alex Jones, I love it when I get to use words like tranche, by the way, there was apparently child pornography in the mix.
Yeah, oops.
Yeah, big time oops. But the headline makes it seem as if Alex Jones was like trolling the Sandy Hook families by sending them child porn, like trying to plant it on their person.
It's hard to say that in a headline. I saw a number of similar headlines. I'm not familiar with CT Post. I don't know what that is, but I even saw some of the bigger media outlets using similar headlines to tell the story. And in fact, I mean, he didn't send them emails with child porn in them so that he was forcing child porn on them. He accidentally showed everyone his child porn when he turned over these documents to the Sandy Hook families.
Yeah.
It's hard to say all that in a headline form. You don't want to see anybody skewered unfairly, but child porn, you know, I think that's the end of the discussion right there.
Yeah, I wonder how this child porn ended up within the I mean, again, this is really, really terrible news for Alex Jones.
On his computer. I mean, it's part of the discovery.
Yeah.
You get access to, hard drives or whatever, and apparently they found more than they were looking for. And that happens typically in criminal investigations and I suppose in civil cases as well, in the course of discovery, you discover things, you find, and sometimes things you aren't even looking for. And sometimes those things have to be referred for a separate prosecution.
And, you know, there's something else. There's a new layer to this now, because like all Trumpers, they always make things worse for themselves. Well, Alex Jones has responded to these allegations that there was child porn in this stack of documents. And so he went off on his show on Friday and was threatening Chris Mattei, this lawyer for the Sandy Hook families. And in my best Alex Jones voice that you heard at the top of the show, I was just going to read this quote, because I'm not going to play the audio of it. I'll just perform it for you.
Oh, thank you.
We all know who did it. You're trying to set me up with child porn. I'm going to get your ass. $1 million. $1 million, you little gang member. $1 million to put your head on a pike. $1 million, bitch. I am going to get your ass. I pray for divine intervention against the powers of Satan. I literally would never have sex with children. I don't like having sex with children. If you have to deny wanting to have sex with children, you're already losing.
I know. I don't want to share a cab with that guy.
Me neither. I don't want that voice in my head. And it is.
And it is. And yet it is. There it is. Yeah. I mean, is it even necessary to try to frame Alex Jones? Don't they already have him dead to rights in this case?
Yeah.
No, I think we found something he didn't mean for us to find. Oops. Didn't mean to leave that in there. You know, and so this is. This is he should talk to his friend George Nader and see maybe get some tips
right.
or a lawyer referral or something.
I mean, once again, I mean, how many people linked to Donald Trump are going to turn up with some sort of egregious underage sex scandal linked to them? I mean, we have this
Wouldn't
guy.
Wouldn't it be something if we find out they're tied to a pizza parlor in
I know. Holy yeah. hell. I mean, what, okay. there's Jeffrey Epstein. There's this other guy with the massage parlor sex ring or whatever the hell that was.
Right.
There, Alex Jones has apparently sent lawyers kiddie porn. I mean, just one story after another in which, Donald Trump's entire, kind of somehow distantly related, affiliates and associates all have this same problem. Why is
and
that?
Yet, and yet Hillary Clinton walks free. I mean, she was. Yeah, I mean, think about it. This is what I'm saying. They spent countless hours, these nuts, accusing her of running a phony pizza parlor in, and I meant to say Alexandria, not Arlington. Mm. But that it was a front for a child exploitation ring some kind, child
Pizzagate.
Sex ring. Yeah. Isn't it funny that they would make that accusation and nothing would ever come of that other than a needless shooting? And yet we have, as Bob just enumerated, all these people on the Trump side of things who are genuinely involved with this stuff.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I mean, it's shocking that Donald Trump would be linked to all of these sexual perverts in some way. You know what I mean? And that's putting it mildly.
Well, he loves his daughter, and I think we all know what that means.
Well, on a much more serious note.
Less perverted note.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is pretty perverted, but in a completely different way. Yeah. Donald Trump is now going to send out ICE agents to start rounding up migrants and so on inside the United States. In direct response to his tweet announcing that this morning, I found a GIF from Schindler's List of, Nazis rounding up Jews in the ghettos, and that one sequence with the little girl with the red jacket. Because, this is what this is going to look like. I mean, it seems to me as if the Republican Party, especially the Hill Republicans, were smart, they would put the brakes on this thing immediately, because what this is doing, I mean, the ultimate impact of this electorally for them, and I hate to dwell on just the superficial electoral aspect of this because it's so awful on so many different levels. But I mean, the Republicans need to put a stop to this. Otherwise, they could end up potentially losing places like Texas, Arizona. Certainly, they're going to lose New Mexico. Yeah. That goes without
saying.
They're
already in danger.
But wherever there's a Latino vote in a somewhat purple state or a leaning purple state, they are going to lose that vote now because Donald Trump is sending out his Gestapo to start rounding up every brown person they can possibly find who doesn't happen to have their employment papers, on their person, like we all do. We all walk around, with those.
And some of his empowered vigilantes may decide to take matters into their own hands as well.
Yeah,
this is a very real. First of all, this strikes fear into the heart of 11 or 12 million people in this country.
Yep, it does.
That's one thing it does. It isn't. It's also illegal. Yep. So I don't know how far he can get with this. It's also it's risky on so many levels. It's impractical. There aren't enough ICE agents to accomplish the deportation of millions of people. It isn't going to happen in the next week. It isn't going to happen in next month.
Yeah.
What is going to happen, and this is very real, is that 20,000 to 50,000 people will be deported in this mass migration sweep. And, this is another one of those moments that is meant to fire up Trump voters, and to some degree it is red meat for his base, but it is also red meat for this base, the anti-Trump base, because this just fires up people more, and hopefully, I'm sorry that it has to happen under these circumstances, but hopefully boosts the Latino vote in this country in 2020, if God help us, we make it that far.
Yeah, no shit. The main thing is the electoral consideration. This has everything to do with Donald Trump making sure that his entire 40%, his base is in line, that they're all locked in and motivated because of their hatred and bigotry toward brown people, just whatever.
And it comes on it comes on the morning of this Florida rally too. Yeah. I mean, you have to look at the timing of this. He's announced something that he cannot practically do and cannot legally do on the morning of the rally to kick off his campaign, which is really his 59th rally.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, again, this is everything is designed for effect. Everything is designed to make sure that, yeah, that those 40% are lined up. They're in a row. They're ready to march into their voting booths. They're ready to donate their money to the Donald Trump reelection campaign. And that's what this is entirely about. The funny thing is, and again, I want to see if we get your take on this, Buzz, too, because the other thing that we need to watch very, very closely is the situation in the Middle East, whether it's the Gulf of Oman, Iran specifically, because my concern, Buzz, is that, you know, he's got the 40% locked up. That's 40% of the American voting population.
Right.
All he needs is another 10%. And my concern is that other 10% is going to come along based on the rah-rah, yellow ribbon around the tree patriotism that happens in the event of war time action in the event that Donald Trump takes us into a war. And so are we going to support the wartime president?
Well, here's what I think. I think 40% roughly are locked behind Trump. And I hate that the number is that high. It's frightening and concerning, not just today, but for the nation's future.
Yep.
But let's say that 40% is solid. Let's say all of them turn out, because they might, considering their level of enthusiasm for the guy. Let's say the entire 40% turns out and votes for Trump on Election Day in 2020. That means we've got to have, you know, what I'd like to see, we have potentially 60%. Of course, that'll never happen. That would be 100%, and the anti-Trump vote's never going to get the rest of that 100%. Our goal, I think, is to get as much of that potential 60% as possible. We need the widest possible margins. Senate races are starting to look better, by the way. Candidates and campaigns and feedback looking a whole lot like it did in 2018.
Thank
in the
God.
Midterms.
Yeah.
So it's we're not home free yet, but that's a good sign. So it's a little encouragement to keep going here.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is my view of it, that the goal on the anti-Trump side now is to get as much of that 60% as possible. If it's 40% for Trump, let it be 56 or 57% against him.
Yeah.
You know, in the vote. We need an overwhelming vote here. And as long as more than 42% of the anti-Trump side turns out, we've got to win. Because I don't think the Trump side is going to grow in size. It will grow in enthusiasm, but it has not, and I do not think it will grow in size. I think the lines have already been drawn. People have taken their sides. What the left has to do now is get out the freaking vote.
Yep. And you know what? When I look at these numbers for Joe Biden, I have to say once again that while I'm not a Joe Biden guy and I haven't endorsed anyone yet, but I've never been a big fan of Joe Biden. But looking at his numbers, looking at these battleground state numbers especially, it's so enticing, because Donald Trump's support drops to 39% if Joe Biden is his opponent, the general.
Right.
And
right.
that is, yeah. I mean, again, we're talking about a moment in time, a year and a half before the election. But it's still really attractive to see that kind of blowout in states like...
It's motivating.
Yeah, Michigan and Texas and Pennsylvania. And again, we may not need Joe Biden's numbers when the time eventually comes, because a year and a half is a lot of time for Donald Trump to utterly screw himself.
Yeah. With the debates, you know, just a week away or so, everything could change just on that alone.
Yep.
Other candidates continue to gain on Biden, and he hasn't gone far enough out into the water yet to risk drowning.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's definitely too early to call. But this is it, because of the top five, the polls show that the top five Democratic candidates can beat Donald Trump.
Yeah.
The top five. Yeah. Five. Let me say five. Five Democrats.
Yeah.
Not just one. So it doesn't have to just be Bernie or Biden or any one individual. We've got five who can beat him.
Five.
That's That's tremendous. If you carry nothing else away from today's show, make it. Today's show is brought to you by the number five.
The number five. And that is, right, of course, going to be the name of today's show. The number five. Let me write this down. The number five.
Know it, live it, learn it.
That's exactly right. All right. Well, we're going to come back and talk about the ABC News interview just a little bit here, okay, for some final remaining observations about that. But first, we got to talk about Bugger Off Bug Repellent from Bugger Off Bomb.com. Again, buggeroffbomb.com. If you missed Father's Day and you need a great gift for Dad this summer, that's something you can use all the way up through, maybe in some cases, all the way up through October, Bugger Off Bomb and yard work go hand in hand. Dad's out there mowing the lawn, trimming the hedges. Why let him get attacked by all those nasty stinging insects? If you and your dad are tired of bug bites, you've come to the right spot. Bugger Off Bomb was created to swear off all the pesky mosquitoes that plague us every season. They got straightforward ingredients, never anything toxic, that's easy to travel with, and a little teeny tiny convenient tin that I don't have. I don't have my tin here anymore because, you know what? I gifted it to my mom, who lives in a place where there are tons of mosquitoes, and she absolutely loves it. And she loves the fact that it fits right in your pocket. It doesn't squirt out, sure, and get all messy in there. It's made specifically for everyone. For example, fishermen, hikers, soccer moms, beachgoers, cruelty-free skincare enthusiasts, your Uncle Joe, your dad, et cetera, et cetera. Why?
I never go outside, but I have friends in Florida who do, and they have the Bugger Off Balm, and they say it's true. They love the smell of it as well.
Yeah, exactly, because it's free of nasty chemicals. It's DEET-free. It's kind to humans and the environment. It contains two key ingredients for fighting pesky bugs and other creepy crawlies. That's eucalyptus and citronella, all in there. It also contains non-GMO soybean oil, beeswax, thyme, rosemary, cedarwood, geranium, basil, and essential oils. Keeps the bugs away and goes great on a deli sandwich. I'm kidding about the sandwich part.
Do not try this at home.
By the way, holy hell, it smells way better than any store-bought repellents. Bugger Off smells clean and fresh, as Buzz said, and it won't stain your clothing. Plus, no more skeeter bites, another line of defense against any insect-borne diseases like the Zika. Just $10.95 at buggeroffbomb.com, but use our promo code BOBC for 15% off your order. Support this show by supporting Bugger Off Bomb and stay bug-free all summer long. Again, that's Bugger Off Bomb, www.buggeroffbomb.com, or just click the link on the podcast page. And we thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hey, this is Lee Papa, host of AGD Podcast with the Rude Pundit. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll love my show, where every week I talk about politics and interview funny, fascinating, and filthy people. Find it at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.
The Bob Seska Show.
There's another song by the great Mia Montenegro. It's a song called Guilty from Somewhere in Between.
I kept your secret.
I love, love, love Mia's voice. Great, great stuff. Again, Mia Montenegro, the song is Guilty. And we got a link in the description below if you want to buy all of Mia Montenegro's music. Well, especially the Somewhere in Between album, which is fucking fantastic. So great that I use the F word, right? Okay, welcome back to the show today. Thank you for joining us. Buzz nice. Burbank is here from Buzz Burbank News and Comment, buzzburbank.com, realmnetwork.com. Best hour of news you're going to hear all week. Okay. What were we going to talk about? We were talking about Trump and this ridiculous
show. I have no idea. I just show up.
I know.
With some lame jokes, and that's it. We wing it after that.
That's why I have co-hosts to help me keep on track and make sure I remember what I'm doing here. So thanks for nothing, asshole. Kidding. Okay, so this ABC News special, a couple of things I wanted to mention here as far as this, again, this George Stephanopoulos interview we've been talking about for several days now. But, I mean, again, what a great glimpse into how just utterly crazy, and not that we needed reinforcement about why Donald Trump and how Donald Trump is so crazy and incompetent, But there it was for all to see on primetime on ABC, like 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. Everyone's dialed in. Everyone's watching TV, except if you're watching the Family Feud episode or whatever the hell else people were watching instead of
this. What I meant by that, Family Feud normally airs on that channel at that time,
and
it gets higher ratings than did that interview.
Ah.
But golf, I think, nearly doubled the number of people who were watching the interview. And again, I get it. It just breaks. I die a little when I see people stop paying attention. And I heard from so many people who went on the defensive after I talked about this online today. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the nation as a whole, because the truth is, and you all know this too, that so many people have just tuned out, have just stopped listening, have stopped caring, have stopped paying attention.
I've noticed.
No longer watch the news. The people who listen to this show, my show, who engage with Bob and myself online, clearly they're up to date and engaged. They're not the concern, but I want them to know my concern for the nation as a whole, just not paying attention, because like I said, that's what the nefarious in government want us to do, is to stop paying attention.
You know, it's funny, Buzz, that you mentioned this, because on Friday's after party, I just completely went off about this exact same idea, which is that, you know, I mean, just speaking for myself, I have never served in the military. I was never drafted, obviously. I was too young to be drafted. You know, I never volunteered to go and fight overseas for the country and so on. So I feel, in a certain respect, on top of this being my career choice, I feel like this is my patriotic duty. This is my duty to keep track of this president, to watchdog this president, to correct the record about this president, to inform the public.
And to write the history of this president.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the main thing.
But to inform the public really is the main thing. But writing the history is an important part of it, too.
And I feel likewise, the least we can do for American democracy is to keep track of what this maniac president is doing and how he is damaging this country, and then using that to inform our opinions, to spread the word, you know, whether it's at the water cooler at work or on your Facebook page or on your Twitter feed. If you're saying, oh my God, I'm so tired of listening to Donald Trump talk, you know what? You're not in the rice paddies. You're not in the rice paddies of Vietnam. You know, you're not storming the beaches of Normandy. We're following a maniac president who needs to be stopped and removed from office as quickly and conveniently as possible before he seriously and permanently damages this country.
Let's put it this way. Would you stop watching your two-year-old for that long?
Yeah.
You know, because that's we have, only this two-year-old has the nuclear codes.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit important,
Important. Yeah, teeny tiny bit.
To pay attention to this. Rachel used to say, I haven't heard her say it in a long time, but I always wanted to steal this, and that is, this is no time to stop paying attention.
That's exactly right.
And it's absolutely true. More than ever. And believe me, I'm as tired of it. You are as tired of it as anybody is. We're probably, I'm probably more tired of it than you are, Bob.
I don't know.
Let's have a contest. But it's absolutely wearing. And what are our choices? We either tune out and let them do whatever, which may hurt us, which may actually hurt us, or we can pay attention and resist where we can.
Yeah. And you know what? It's not just the fact that Donald Trump is a maniac and he's incompetent and he's corrupt and he's a criminal and all the rest of it. There's a personal element here, whether it has to do with health care or whether it has to do your skin being a little browner than Caucasian normally.
Income, and then therefore fairness and tax fairness.
Yeah. And now it's about, you know, if you've got dark hair and darker than Caucasian skin, you're now on a hit list. ICE is going to be coming for you, and you better have your papers ready. That is the kind of country we're living in now. And it's not a time to go, I'm just so tired of seeing him talk. And you know what? You're not allowed to say that. You have to keep following this guy. You have to keep on top of it.
You are. And as some people who took the defensive pointed out to me today, and they're right, and I've preached this myself, you also need some time away from it.
That's true.
You also need to step away from it from time to time. It is not And it should not be, you know, it's your job and my job, but it should not be everyone's job to watch everything every minute. Again, I was just expressing overall concern about the overall lack of attention to the government that we are supposed to control. And that's really all I meant. And I've upset an awful lot of people, but I guess it's good for internet traffic. I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes tough love is important, Buzz, and I think you're delivering tough love to your audience. And that's not even a joke. I mean, that's serious. Like, you know, for God's sake, I mean, we have to reinforce our backbones here and remember what it is we're exactly calling for here. We're not, again.
I was waving what has been called the dad finger at people today.
I'm familiar with that. I have used that finger too of my own. But, you know, what can we say? I mean, because we're seeing this and we've been following it long enough. We have a long enough record following the news in this country, following politics in this country to know where this could be heading. And it's not heading anywhere well. And you know what? We all have to do our part in making sure it doesn't go sideways suddenly. And it could very easily go sideways.
If you parallel this with climate change, which we should also be paying more attention to.
Yes.
We're getting close to, we're not there yet, but we're getting dangerously close to the point of no return.
Yep.
And that's true of our planet, and that's true of our government. And we can either watch golf, or we can get up off our couches and call our representatives, write them, show up at their offices when you have time, or if you have time to do so, go to a weekend rally. Let you express yourself as most of us do on social media. We have to keep after this, and we have to keep pointing out the truth on the off chance someone will hear it.
That's right. And the more people who hear it, the better off we're all going to be. Because, I mean, what happens is democracy dies in ignorance. I mean, ignorance will kill democracy faster than anything else. Burying our heads in the sand and, you know, abandoning following the news, following politics in lieu of Dancing with the Stars or The Real Housewives or wherever, or, you know, but I mean, that's not to say you can't enjoy these things, that you can't do things that are self-helping. But I mean, at the same time, don't abandon it entirely.
If I thought that kids were being taught in school the importance of checks and balances in government, if I thought they were being, illustrated, given a real understanding of these things, the importance of the press, the importance of voting, these are how to fix a screen door. These are things we should be teaching in schools so that young people are prepared to become citizens. And you mentioned ignorance, education. I've fretted about this again this morning and have preached on it before. Until we start properly educating people, we will continue to have the ignorance problem that breeds the racism and the hatred that we see in today's politics, that we could have gone, and we still, I hope, think can go a different way.
Well, here's how specifically ignorance will kill democracy, Buzz. And that is, during this ABC News interview with George Stephanopoulos and Trump, they were in the Beast at one point. We've all seen this clip now, where George Stephanopoulos literally challenges Donald Trump's no collusion claim in a way that I haven't seen yet in an interview with Donald Trump. I haven't seen someone challenge him the way this went down. And specifically because of the way Donald Trump reacted when George Stephanopoulos challenged him on no collusion. And it didn't take much. All it took, that's not what it says in the report. And Donald Trump insisting, Robert Mueller said no collusion. I mean, which he didn't. I mean, the exchange basically, Trump saying they found no collusion and they didn't find anything having to do with obstruction because they made the ruling based on his comments. And Stephanopoulos interrupts. He says, are you trying to say now, this is Trump, are you trying to say now that there was collusion even though he said there was no collusion? And Stephanopoulos says, well, he didn't say that. And Trump said, he said no collusion. Well, he didn't say no collusion.
No.
And this is Stephanopoulos says, he said he didn't look at collusion, which is the fact. And then Trump said, George, the report said no collusion. And then Stephanopoulos said, did you read the report? And Trump said, yes, I did. And then at that point, Donald Trump moved so quickly to leap out of that car. It's a shame that the car was not moving at the time, because Donald Trump would have leapt out of the car anyway, because he was so afraid of the truth. And the truth is that Donald Trump is exploiting the ignorance of the American public. And I'm not just talking about, and I wish I was, talking about Fox News viewers and Red Hats. I'm talking about so many people in this country have just not bothered to read the Mueller report. It doesn't take that long. It's a quick read. You can knock it out in a weekend if you don't have a lot of time. And what it says in the report is specifically, Mueller did not, just as George Stephanopoulos said, Mueller did not investigate for collusion. And he said it right here on page two, my God, all you need to do is read as far as page two.
All the
two.
Farther you have to go. Right. Yeah.
Two.
You can make it.
You can make it. Yeah. It's not that hard to read two pages of text, for God's sake. On page two, not even halfway through page two, Mueller clearly writes, in evaluating whether evidence about collective action of multiple individuals constituted a crime, we applied the framework of conspiracy law, not the concept of collusion. So he didn't examine collusion as a criminal violation. Instead, he looked at conspiracy law. Then he proceeded to document over 100 different links between the Trump campaign and Russian operatives. Over 100 links.
126, but who's counting?
Yeah. And you can make a very easy semantic leap from links, the word links, to the word collusion. I mean, we all were using, we were all using collusion as kind of a colloquial catch-all term for the relationship between Trump and Russia, whether it was the business ties, whether it's the compromat, whether it's these 101 plus meetings that took place during the campaign and during the transition. Well, these are all examples of collusion, right? At least in terms of how we were defining it, right?
Yeah, the task of reading the Mueller report didn't sound like fun. and so it's not an attractive thing. And I understand that. And I understand people are busy. Like you said, you really only have to get a page and a quarter into the thing to begin to find meat. And that'll make you can skim it. There are credible summaries by reliable news agencies that have been written of the Mueller report if you just don't think you can read all that legalese.
Yeah.
I get that, but all of this underscores the importance of having Mueller himself on television answering questions for Congress. This is the only way that we're going to get what's in the report into the mouths of American people.
And I wrote in Salon today a whole piece defining what the Mueller report says about collusion and what it doesn't say about collusion. And I think this is one of those things where we need to have a reset on this issue because it gets scrambled. And this is, I go back to Robert Mueller himself. This is a bit of Mueller's fault, too. This is, and Donald Trump is actively exploiting Robert Mueller's legalese or his double negatives and things like that. Robert Mueller's inability to answer questions before Congress to clarify some of these things. And Trump is just waltzing right through that gigantic semantic loophole. And that's a problem. But again, you find it all scrambled around here. And the bottom line is there are more than 100 contacts between Trump officials and Russian operatives. And the Trump officials, for their part, lied at every turn about those meetings, whether it was on federal documents or whether it was to the FBI, only later to correct the record or to be caught doing all the lying about these meetings and so on. So why are they lying about all these meetings? Well, obviously, because there's a quid pro quo there. Obviously, because they needed to use opaque language. They needed to make sure that, they used all of their mob style tactics. These were all buffers in the parlance of Godfather Part Two. And so for Donald Trump to sit there and stare into a camera and repeatedly claim that Robert Mueller said no collusion is absolutely false. But again, it exposes the misinformation campaign that began on March 24th when Bill Barr released that god-awful letter summarizing this and preempting the actual findings of the report.
Well, here's what I think you have here is you've got Mueller, who plays by strictly by the rules, up against or being beaten up by a guy who absolutely does not play by the rules.
Yeah.
So, this is
It has been proposed that this would be an occasion for Mr. Mueller to loosen his tie a bit and, step outside of what has been a tradition. He no longer holds the special counsel title, so he's free to talk, so far as I know. And I don't understand why at this point he hasn't won't come forward to speak, especially since he's being pummeled by a bully who doesn't play by the rules.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Buzz, you know, all that funnel cake at Rehoboth Beach isn't going to eat itself. So Mueller is on to his next assignment, which is boardwalk crawling at Rehoboth or wherever the hell he is right now. I mean, I feel like, again, you talk about patriotism, you talk about, I know Robert Mueller has done his duty, and that is, in a thousand different ways, especially
It would be easier to get him if Congress were holding impeachment hearings, as it very much needs to do. You know, I'll go back to what I said last week because it bears repeat. I think we should keep saying it until it finally happens. And that is that the Democrats are allowing themselves to be led by the public, and that isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And the Democrats should instead be doing what they did in 1973 and '74, and that's lead the American public, not wait to be led by the public. Because right now the public's not on board.
Yeah.
And the public was not on board in 73 either.
Nope.
But they got on board. Same thing in terms of Congress held hearings then that were not impeachment hearings. They were the Watergate committee hearings.
Yeah. Well, the public
and it didn't sway the public at all.
That's right.
When they started impeachment, boom, things began to change.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing here. We're having investigative hearings and the needle isn't moving. Same as in 73. Maybe if we did what we did then and launch impeachment hearings, the public would get on board as they did back then, at least more than are now.
And God bless her, Nancy Pelosi is still in full mode. When asked about impeachment, boy, so frustrating because I really like Nancy Pelosi normally, but
she is off base now. Strategist normally, but she's missing something here. She's not seeing the whole. There's something very obvious. I think she's just missing. That she could pay for this dearly. By Democrats. I saw somebody post, I'm just saying, this has been a couple of weeks ago but I saw somebody post I'm withholding donations to anything Democratic until they start impeachment hearings.
Yeah.
They start impeachment hearings, they'll get my money, but not a moment before that. I don't know what kind of pressure the electorate needs to apply here to make the Democrats in Congress do the obvious thing.
Yeah, but we do have some new polling numbers that I hope move the dial just a little bit in favor.
It's moving a little.
We're going to talk about those poll numbers right after one last break back after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska!
I've got my hands in my pockets, a drag to my step. These drinks aren't the same since the day that you left. We've talked through some lost loves and we've talked through some pain. I've stood on your doorstep like a fool in the rain. But one thing I've learned here in my 35 years, good people are so hard to find.
I'm hesitant to interrupt this. This is so good. This is Tim Rogner. The song is called Goodbye Virginia, obviously. Link in the description below. Just love this song. Okay. Speaking of things I love, Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller was nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame in the spoken word category this year. But right. I've been asking people to go and vote for her because you can. There's like an audience choice thing, and but the voting doesn't start until July 15th. That's I forgot.
It's never too soon to work up the base.
That's right. I didn't notice that there was no voting allowed until a certain date. So make sure to put write down on your calendar if people still use calendars. I know I do.
Russia, if you're listening.
That's right. There you go. Meanwhile, our good friend Frank Conniff from Mystery Science Theater, formerly of John Fugelsang's right. show on Sirius XM, Frank Conniff, TV's Frank, had a big heart surgery over the weekend. Oh. I think he ended up having an open heart surgery instead of the usual thing where they go up through an artery and they stick a stent right. in there. I think this was full-blown open heart surgery, which is really, really hard, really traumatic. He's recovering. He's doing fine. If you right. want to send any well wishes, please send them to Frank Conniff, P.O. Box 1870, Long Island City, or as they say up there, Long Island City.
Long Island,
New York, 11101. That's impossible to forget that zip code. 11101, P.O. Box 1870, Long Island City, New York, 11101. Send your well wishes to the great Frank Conniff. All right.
I worked at a radio station in New York State, upstate yeah. New York, and we covered part of Vermont. And I would occasionally get contest winners there, and I would ask for their address, you know, off the air to send them their prize. Uh-huh. And they would give me the zip code, and it began with zero. And I would say, that's not a real zip code.
You're making things up.
They don't start with zero.
Yeah. It's like getting a zip code that starts with a letter Q. What are you talking about?
Right.
That doesn't exist. Not right. That's not real. That's made up. Okay. What are we going to talk about here?
It's on me again, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. What did I say? Oh, yeah. The polls.
Yes.
See, I'm always forgetting. I just kind of zone out and stare at the wall during the commercials.
Yeah. The polls about impeachments.
Yes. There. Yes. The polls about. And this is significant because we're looking at a Fox News poll here. You can't yes. say it's a fake poll. It's fake. Like Donald Trump whining about. In fact, he whined about these polls too. He whined.
But there's the fun of it, Bob.
I know.
He says we find out that his internal polling says he sucks. He comes out and then says those aren't real polls. They don't exist. And yeah. then we get them and we see that they exist and yeah. that he absolutely does suck. And so then he fires the pollsters, thinking, well. That takes care of that. And then Fox News, his buddies over at Fox News, yeah, yeah. come out with a poll that show exactly the same thing.
Exactly. So he's got a whine now about Brett Baer for some reason, as if Brett Baer is the pollster. Like Brett Baer is going door to door asking survey questions. But Donald Trump's always looking for something to whine about.
Stop whining.
Yeah, that's right. It's also his foreign policy, too. It's just whining. Right. Remember Obama's foreign policy? Obama got a lot of criticism for the Republicans that his foreign policy was stop doing stupid shit.
Right.
With Donald Trump, his foreign policy is just whine, whine, whine. He was whining again yeah. today about something having to do with Germany. It's so unfair, everything's so unfair. But this Fox News poll.
Whining is also his domestic policy, by the way.
That's what I've heard and noticed. Yeah. Oh, my, everything is whining. But this Fox News poll, do you think the Trump campaign coordinated with the Russian government in 2016? Yes, 50%. No, 44%. Now,
and this is Fox.
This is Fox, right? Yeah. So it's a little bit leaning on to the
my dad's watching.
Yeah, exactly. Not exactly Rasmussen, but it is still leaning too heavily conservative in their crosstabs.
Right.
But it's still 44% is still too high, but I mean, we'll take it. It's a majority now that or is 50% a majority or a plurality?
It's a plurality in this case. Yeah.
Plurality. 51 would be a majority, but 50% right. still I'll take that. I mean, among Fox News viewers, among people who are leaning conservative, I would say the fact that they believe that Russia coordinated with Trump in 2016, great news. I think this is good news as far as the whole impeachment yes. scenario is concerned. Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, should Trump be impeached? This question, 43% yes, impeach him and remove him from office. 7% of people said yes, impeach him, but don't remove him from office. 48% said no. So more people support impeachment. That'd be what would that be? 50% versus 48%. But the
right,
yes, impeach him, but don't remove him from office. That category, that 7%, interesting. And I'll tell you why that's fascinating, because I think it's a false poll result. I think these are people going, that's what will probably happen versus what I think mm-hmm. should happen.
Could be.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's really difficult, and I have been leaning less and less on poll questions and poll numbers lately, only because we all got burned in 2016.
We do have to be careful. You know, I saw you post the other day, polls mean nothing, or what did you say
exactly? The Democratic primary, the Democratic primary polls, and the polls looking at matchups for the general election too. Kind of irrelevant at this point.
I only take partial issue with that. The current numbers are irrelevant in terms of what happens on election day, which is a long way off.
Yep.
But I think they're very, very instructive about this moment here, mm-hmm. about right now.
Yeah.
And I think they can be relied upon to give us a fair picture of that.
Yeah.
You know, I still defend polls to a large degree. What other way do we have to measure public opinion?
I still think that a lot of people will answer a presidential approval poll question based on how they think the country is doing, not necessarily how the president is doing. So if they feel like, well, economy's doing pretty good, so yeah, I guess the president's okay. But they're not evaluating the actual job performance of the president, which is the specifics of the question. And instead, they're superimposing their semi-informed view of how the country overall is doing, conflating those two things.
Right.
So I think sometimes the presidential job approval numbers are not quite as accurate as we like to think they are. But obviously, it's the best we can do as far as taking the temperature, taking a litmus test to the American public and seeing where they're thinking. So in this case, yeah, I mean, we have nothing else to go on. Clearly, I'll accept the fact that 50% of the people surveyed here think that, yes, the impeachment process should begin. And I hope Nancy Pelosi is getting these numbers. I hope Donald Trump sees these numbers, too. I'm still quite skeptical about this opinion that, oh, the impeachment process is going to help Donald Trump, because what that does is it frames impeachment as being something positive you can do for a president. And that is definitely not the case. Donald Trump may think that this is going to help him. It's not going to help. If the impeachment process, and I've been underscoring the fact that I have a hard time saying the word inquiry. For some reason,
inquiry.
Yeah. I mean, saying
it's not my favorite word. It's a bad word, Bob. I think you're allowed to skirt around it when you can.
But I think the impeachment process itself is going to further backstop these numbers and increase these numbers. Because the whole point of doing that, the whole point of going into an impeachment inquiry is to get that information out there. Reinforce.
That's what happened in Watergate. That's how it's done. That's how you bring people around. They're not going to read the Mueller report. You got to put it on television. And the way to do that is with dramatic hearings.
Yeah.
And although this is a different age that involves the internet, all of those clips, the highlights will definitely be on the internet.
Yeah. And likewise, there's an NBC News Wall Street Journal poll out now. It says 27% of Americans say there's enough evidence to begin impeachment hearings now. And 27%, you go, oh my God, 27%, that's so low. But it's actually not, because it's up 10 points from just last month. 24%, meanwhile, think Congress should continue investigating to see if there's enough evidence to hold impeachment hearings in the future. That means a plurality support the fact that there's enough evidence now to begin impeachment. 48% believe that Congress. Oh, OK. So, no, I take that back. Sorry for the cock blockage here.
No.
But 48% believe that Congress should not hold impeachment hearings, or that Trump should finish out his term as president. Meanwhile, 50% of Americans say enforcement of immigration laws has gone too far. 24% say actions haven't gone far enough. That'd be Stephen Miller and his band of freaks amounting to that 24%. Meanwhile, one last bit of polling information here. 69, my favorite percentage, 69% of voters said a sitting president should be subject to criminal charges.
Right.
So it seems to me as if one of the things Elizabeth Warren's calling for is that very thing. Of making it possible to charge the president criminally, which is so necessary. My God, those are the real stakes of impeachment, too. It's like, We don't want to send the message down the line into the future that the president literally can go and shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and his numbers will go up.
Absolutely. You know, that's an argument we've been making all along. A couple of interesting things. The enthusiasm for impeachment is up among Democrats significantly just in the past 30 days. It's gone up from 30% of Democrats favoring impeachment to 48%.
Oh.
Now, that's still not a majority, but it's an 18% increase. Watch that progress. And also, crucial independents. 22% are ready for impeachment now. 34% want to keep investigating. Together, that is 56% of independents who are open to impeachment.
Wow. That's great. I hope it starts as soon as possible, and I hope we get to a place where at least Mitch McConnell is forced to start a trial in the Senate. Actually, you know what? I don't know. I don't think Mitch McConnell really has anything to do with it. I don't think Mitch McConnell can go. You know what? We're gonna with his Mason.
Yeah, all he can do is rush the trial, which is what he says. Right. He's already said that's what he's gonna do. They're gonna fast track the trial once they get it from the House.
And one thing he might be able to do is turn off the TV cameras, make it not non-televised, which
even better for him.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how that's all going to work out, but it really doesn't matter. The point is the impeachment itself, which happens on the House side. Yeah.
I hope the cameras are on when he helps the 9/11 responders.
Okay. Well, coming up on the Postmortem Show here in just a few seconds on our Patreon page, where we just keep talking after this music is done playing, after the credits roll. It's sort of our post-credit scene, if you like superhero movies. So we're going to keep talking on the Postmortem Show here. I've got an amazing essay about the presidency, specifically the Trump presidency, written by Charlie Pierce. Now, this was out, I don't know, a year ago or something like that. But Ziggy Blue on our Patreon page posted this in the community tab, which, by the way, if you want to sign up on our Patreon page, another perk for you. It doesn't matter what level of support you offer. Even at $1 a month, you still have access to our community tab where you can post your own blogs. All you want, you can generate conversation. You can join and participate in our community of Patreon supporters over there. So go and do that. But Ziggy Blue posted this thing by Charlie Pierce. I want to read this on the Postmortem Show, just because it is so amazing, and just because I want to be Charlie Pierce when I grow up. So there's that. That's patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Meanwhile, Buzz Burbank News and Comment at buzzburbank.com. Also, realmnetwork.com. Make sure to support all your favorite Realm shows. And Sexy Liberal, of course, Stephanie Miller, Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. That's me, Jody, everyone else. See you on the Postmortem Show, folks. Bye-bye.